Yeah, and there was two verses in the second one. Tim, I forgot to tell you that. We got that. It was good singing, though. Praise God. Please take the inner fold of your bulletin, and we'll be using some verses outside of Deuteronomy there as well. It was really great preaching this week, and I'd like to build on that. Even if the preaching wasn't that great, the worship is worth going down to the AFBC conference before. If you haven't been before, consider going next year because you really missed something this week. It was a great blessing in our lives. I'm not sure who the conference speaker is this next year, but I hope that they'll have Mike Elavell back again another year, and that would be great. So try and get down, if at all you can. We're happy to give you a lift. Anyway, our Bible's open, our bulletin ready. Let's ask the Lord's help. Precious Father, I thank you that we are family in this church, and I thank you that I see a care for one another when we go through tough times, and we've been able to pray for each other today and uphold each other. It's so good to be able to do that. And we thank you for answered prayer. We've seen answered prayer this week, Lord. Now, Lord, as individual family units, I pray, Lord, that you would help us to be godly families, strong families, families that love you with all of our hearts. I pray that as we move through this message today, you would challenge all of us in different areas. Speak to us, we pray, by your Spirit. May we leave here filled with your Spirit, determined to walk with you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we've been doing a series on the home, and this morning's message is entitled Witnessing at Home. It's actually the first one in two. It'll take me two messages to get through this. In good churches across the Western world, dropout rates for Christian young people is increasing. Some say two-thirds of those that have been in church as teens won't be there as young adults. Such statistics are staggering and alarming. And we have not been immune in this church from that wasting disease. At one time, we had 25-plus young people coming to our evening service, staying on for activities and then devotions. But the stats would be similar for us, something like two-thirds of those attending then haven't gone on for the Lord. In his book, Already Gone, Ken Ham does a good job at pointing to the problem. But to my mind, anyway, he only gets some of the causes right. What is happening? Why is there such a large attrition? Ken Ham basically says, teach the truth. Equip the young people to be able to give an answer, live a godly life before them, and you'll be able to reverse the trend. But this church was doing those things at that time. We were preaching the truth, and we were seeking to live godly lives, and the young people still evaporated into thin air. There has got to be more to it than that. Brothers and sisters, as families and as a church, we need to arrest this attrition. Those with young families especially, need to take heed, or your children may be already gone from the faith. We need to get back to basics of how we win and how we keep our children for Christ. We need to understand how to be witnesses in the home, and more than that, how to disciple our children, although we won't be getting onto that today, because parents are disciples. They are making disciples of their children. The world won't be able to help us with this problem. If we're going to find answers, we're going to have to find answers in the Word of God. In seeking to pass on anything of help that I've learnt from the Word of God as a parent, I would summarise by saying that there are four principles for witnessing in the home for us to understand. Four principles for witnessing in the home. And today, we just consider the first two. The first principle to understand in saving and keeping our kids is the biblical authority chain. Let me give you two contrasting verses regarding witness in the home to consider, or two contrasting passages. First of all, Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. So in summary, those verses are saying we need to witness to the children in the home. We need to teach them the Word of God. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1 says, in contrast, wives, likewise be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, in other words, they're unsaved men, if some are unsaved, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives. Circle those words, without a word. You see, in summary, don't witness to your husband, win him to the Lord through your life. So in contrast here, we have don't witness in 1 Peter chapter 3, and we have teach in Deuteronomy chapter 6. And these can't easily be resolved until you understand the biblical authority chain. Maybe you can see where I'm going. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 22 says, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. And Ephesians 6 and verse 1 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. So the husband does have biblical authority over the wife and over the children. And the wife also has authority over the kids. So the biblical authority chain is, well, if we include the Godhead, it is God, Christ, Father, Mother, children. When you are a person of authority in the home, you have authority over someone else, according to those scriptures, you are to teach, Deuteronomy chapter 6. When you are a person under authority in the home, according to those scriptures we've just read, you are to win those over you, without teaching. That's 1 Peter chapter 3. Now, godly living is needed whether you're a person in authority or not. But if you are under authority, winning those over you in the Lord, godly living is the only way to do that. 1 Peter 3 and verse 1 again says, wives, likewise be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they, without a word, may be won by the conduct of their wives. The same principle, of course, would apply to children. Christian children, say, seeking to win unsaved parents to the Lord. They ought to do it by their lives, showing them how God has changed their lives. But if at all you have authority, you are to use that authority in a godly way, not in a dictatorship kind of way, but in a godly way to teach those under your care with grace and truth. Godly living is always crucial because God is watching. No matter where we are, whether we're in church, in the home, in the workplace, godly living is always needed. But godly living in the home is intensely crucial because your family, more than anyone else in the world, see you as you are. That is, you live a lie and your family won't be interested in your God. Some of you may have read Lee Strobel's Case for Christ. Lee Strobel was an atheist, and he was won to the Lord by the conduct of his wife. This is how he tells it. So she came to me in 1973 and said, Lee, I've made a big decision. I've become a follower of Jesus Christ. I thought this was the worst possible thing that could happen to our marriage. I thought we were going to get divorced. I felt like I'd married one Leslie and now she was a different Leslie. I didn't want that. And I said, look, if you can't face life on your own two feet, If you have to check out your brains in a book of mythology, he called it, and bad history and make-believe, then you go ahead and do that. But number one, don't give them any of our money, because that's what they're after. And number two, don't try to get me to go, because I'm too smart for that. So I was a really nice guy, he says. But she continued to go and invite me from time to time. And I wouldn't go. And it was a very stressful time in our marriage. In fact, we're writing a book about it, How to Live with a Non-Believer kind of book. Because it was so stressful. We almost did get divorced. And then he says, But there was something very attractive at the same time in her life. And the changes in her character, in her values, and the way she related to me and the children, it just intrigued me. So then finally I said, I'm going to go. And then the pastor got up and did this message called Basic Christianity, and just explained Christianity. He says, I was 28 years old, and I'd never heard the word grace explained before in my life. I thought grace was something that Christians said before a meal. He explained it. I thought that, number one, I don't believe it. I'm still an atheist. But number two, if this is true, it has great implications for my life. Godly living, like Leslie Strobel lived, godly living is always crucial. But godly living in the home is intensely crucial. Your family see you as you are. Witnessing it down the authority chain, teaching those below you in the Lord, is required. You are to do that. Witnessing up the authority chain is only possible when those over you in the Lord are willing to, or those over you in God's authority chain are willing to listen. Otherwise, you can only win them by your life. Now that covers all witnessing in the home, whether it's up or down that authority chain that we described. But now we're going to focus in on the kids. We started with, how do we stop the attrition of these kids? Parents, I want to state, you have God's authority to teach your kids biblically. The second principle to understand in saving and keeping our kids is the context for the gospel. In what context should the gospel be presented? When we're talking of Christian parents witnessing to unsaved children, it's always right and required for parents to teach children. So let's state what the context is for the gospel. If you were to ask, what are the key factors in leading children to Christ, I would say four come to mind immediately. And maybe some of you could share some other things that God has shown you in leading children to Christ. Come and chat with me afterwards. But I would say four come to mind immediately. They are all stated or implied in the Deuteronomy passage that we've looked at already. And the first context for the gospel, the environment in which the gospel is presented, is number one, have family devotions. Have family devotions. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength. How will that show in life? Verse 6, and these words which I command you shall be in your heart. And secondly, verse 7, you shall teach them diligently to your children. And you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. We have to be diligent about family devotions. They just won't happen. Family devotions is simply a time when the Word of God is taught to the children. The gospel should be a regular part of that teaching. It's going to come in as we teach through the Word of God to our children. The gospel will be part of that. Two of our children trusted Christ during times of family devotions. When they were very young, bedtime was a good time to sit down with them and read through some kind of Bible story time book. When they got older, we did family devotions around the table. We had lots of interruptions when we started to do them around the table, but we were determined, the word says here in verse 7, diligent. We were diligent, as the verse says, to teach the Word of God, and the interruptions dropped off. I wonder why that was. Why would the interruptions drop off? Could it be that the enemy realized he wasn't going to deter us? Good children's devotions should, first of all, help the children to know the story of the Bible. Secondly, they should teach the children what is right and what is wrong. Thirdly, they should include from time to time the gospel. The overall teaching should be the context for the gospel. And fourthly, they should introduce the children to the character of Christ and the character of God, because that's, after all, how we model our lives. The second context for the gospel is you've got to be keen. You've got to be keen. Keenness will be expressed in your love for God. In fact, keenness is an outflow of our love for God. And so that keenness is going to be seen, that keenness for the Lord is going to be seen as we do anything and everything in life. Let me explain. Let's read the verses again. Verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. If the love for God is in your heart, if you love Him with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength, it is going to show in the way you interact with your family. Every child in the family ought to know and ought to be able to see that you love them. If you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, then it's going to show in your reactions in life and to family members. It will show in the handling of anger and anxiety and despair. If we love God with all our heart and soul and mind and strength, it will show in the mountains and on the valleys how we react in those circumstances of life. What is God doing in this situation? Christ is everything to you. So that verse 7 becomes easy. You can't stop talking about Him. And the second part of verse 7 says, and you shall talk with them as you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. That's at every opportunity. You've always got some story of how God was involved in your day. And the children can see how live, how living this faith is. Two of our boys, as I mentioned, got saved during family devotions, but two got saved in the warp and woof of life, this everyday stuff. One of those everyday stuff type things was a church service. If you're half-hearted about getting to church, you can only expect your children to be less excited than you. I would say that our kids only benefited from being in church twice on Sundays. It was just the thing you did, and they got to hear the Word of God, and it impacted their lives. I don't think any of them were damaged by being here twice. Another was saved in a different situation altogether. It was after a bonfire. He got burnt. And we simply made the comment in the warp and woof of life, the pain of hell will be worse than that. And that it led on to sharing the gospel and his salvation. Everything in life can be an object lesson. One of the ones that got saved in family devotions, it was part of this warp and woof of life too, because a Mormon boy in our area had died of cancer. A little boy had died of cancer. And we were talking to one of our children about that in the family devotions time, and it was that led him to trust Christ. So these things can come together even. Half-hearted Christians needn't expect their children will go on for Christ. You've got to be keen. If you're distracted by the things of the world, don't be surprised when your children are distracted by the things of the world too. So number one, have family devotions. That's a great context to be able to share the gospel. Number two, be keen, be excited about your Christian life. Be in love with our God. He's a great God. And number three, I'd like to underline this, mentioned already, but I'd like to underline, live godly. We've already mentioned that godly living is crucial to witness in the home. It's the only way to witness up the authority chain, but it's also mandatory down the authority chain also. Teach Christ and live like the world, And the children won't be interested in that brand of Christianity. They won't be interested in our religion. Why should the kids be interested in that if it doesn't actually help in life? Deuteronomy 6 and verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. This love for God is not only going to be seen in how excited that we are about the Christian life and our love for Him, but it's also going to be seen in our holiness. Because we love Him, we're going to want to be godly, and that is going to impact standards too. If you love the Lord, you will be holy and uphold holy standards. Now, having standards is not Pharisaical. Everyone has standards. People in the world have standards. There's some things they'll do, there's some things they won't do. The only question is, what kind of standards are we going to have? Are they going to be high and holy standards, or are they going to be low and worldly standards? The standards of parents have always influenced the standards of children. But today, there is more at stake than ever there was. Why? Well, because the influence of the media is increasing in the lives of our children. And secondly, the media is getting more and more ungodly. Its influence is increasing and it's becoming more ungodly. So letting a trickle through the standards gate will have profound effect on our kids. We need to be godly, and we need godly standards that reflect our love for God and not for the world. We don't love the world, do we, as Christians? So that should be reflected in our standards. We can live a substantially moral and godly life, but if we relax our standards in entertainment, it will undermine the work of family devotions, first of all, and secondly, any holy living that we are doing. You see, what entertains us is what we are. If we like watching ungodly stuff, it's because that's a part of us. That's what Romans 1:30. If we approve those things by not turning the box off or what other media it is, then we are exactly the same as those who do them. This is the reason we are losing so many of our young people, in my opinion. Modern media and music feed the flesh, and what you feed is going to win. Christian parents, I believe, in many cases, are making poor choices in regard to entertainment, have high godly standards in the areas of media and music that reflect your love for God and your disdain for the world. Where you set your standards will be a major factor in where the children end up. So first of all, the context in sharing the gospel with our children is, number one, have family devotions. There's going to be opportunity to share the gospel there. Number two, you've got to be keen. Love God and love them and let them see your love for God. Number three, live godly. And that's going to include setting godly standards for the home. The fourth context for the gospel is pray for the kids. Pray for the kids. Now that's obvious perhaps, and the scriptures certainly advocate praying for the unsaved. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1 says, "Therefore I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men." That certainly includes the unsaved. Verse 3 adds, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Saviour, who desires all men to be saved." So he's wanting us to pray for them to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. We prayed for our children before they were conceived. And when you keep praying for them day by day, that keeps the spiritual priorities in focus so that that affects what we do every day. Keeps us on track. But in the end, it's grace. It is only grace that any child is ever saved. And so we want God's power. We want the Holy Spirit to be working with that child. And so we dare not neglect prayer. We want God to be working in their lives. Now, some of the young people that came here and have not gone on for the Lord came from Christian homes. Parents were doing family devotions, praying for their kids, as far as I know, and substantially living holy lives. Maybe not perfect, but none of us are perfect, are we? But the young people are still gone. I lay the blame at the feet of media and music. They fed the flesh and fed the flesh and fed the flesh, and they starved the spirit, and the flesh became a giant and the spirit a dwarf. And who won? Of course, the flesh won, and they're gone. This is very real. I'm the Facebook friend of a young man from another church. I was counseling him because he wanted to be a missionary. Much of our interaction was done by email, and I'm going to read to you some of that email correspondence. I call him Dan, it's not his real name. Dear Dan, I am really on Facebook, but I noticed that you had sent me an invitation to Slay the Cronus. This appears to be a fantasy game. The last young adult into fantasy games in our church went right off the tracks and is now living an immoral life. Now, I'm not going to name who that was, but he is very real in my mind. This caused me to look at your profile. I was very disturbed to see the movies you like. Star Wars, Lord of the Rings, Shrek, Batman Begins, Harry Potter. Please explain. Wayne. Brother Wayne. Well, I had an email all typed out to you, but then I realized that I needed to spend some time in prayer. I realized that recently I've been allowing more and more my likes and desires to become what is important to me, and seeking a relationship with the Lord to be put aside. I was raised in a Christian home, saved very young, and I know a lot in my head. I can easily live the Christian life on autopilot without the real fellowship with the Lord, and how easy it is to stray. I spent a good 30 minutes on my knees with the Lord. The Lord showed me Colossians 1 verses 11 to 14, especially verse 13, where it says we've been delivered from darkness. Verse 11 says that we've been strengthened according to His might for endurance. Even though my flesh is strong, my Lord is stronger, and I need to be daily seeking Him for strength and the endurance to continue walking with Him and not finding myself turning back to the darkness He has saved me from. Now, this shows that he understands the issues. I didn't point out any of the issues. I just said, please explain. But he understood the issues very well. I'm telling you this because I want to be honest with you. And also thank you for your email, as it allowed the Lord to speak to my heart. Tender heart. Praise God for a tender heart. To answer your email, though, yes, I do like fantasy. I've always enjoyed books and games and movies that were part of the fantasy genre, elves, dragons. As to the movies listed in my profile, I have seen them, most of them in high school and uni time frames, and I had posted them on Facebook years ago, and I did like them. That being said, it doesn't make them right just because I enjoyed them. I'm afraid in some cases I allowed my flesh to convince me that such and such is okay. That is something I confess to the Lord tonight. Thank you for bringing it to my attention. The Lord used it to make me think and realize I was wrong. There are many things in this life that draw our attention away from Christ if we let them, as I've realized again tonight. Not sure what else to say, so I'll end here. Dan. And then a couple of weeks later he wrote again, Brother Wayne, just thought I'd drop you a quick email. Yesterday I was able to have lunch with one of our pastors, and we had good discussion. I talked with him about letting things other than Christ take the focus and allowing my flesh drive my life instead of a real fellowship with God. It was helpful. If you met Dan, you'd probably think that he was a godly young man. But Dan, despite his initial good responses, was not willing to give up his fantasy games and his choices of entertainment. He started rationalizing and trying to pretend that those choices didn't really matter in his life. And so he has forfeited the opportunity to serve God on the mission field. He fed the flesh too long. Now, Dan and his wife have a new baby. Even though Dan attends church, lives a moral life, and reads Bible stories to his little one, entertainment choices that he makes are going to affect that child, other children that he might have, more than the rest of what he does. It's just so powerful. This is very real and explains why they are, according to Ken Ham, already gone. We have been seduced by Hollywood, we Christians. In discipling our children, we have to watch standards so carefully. Let me say, we as a couple, let me put myself in the place of a young couple. And if we as a couple are making good choices regarding TV, we still have to watch the children and their choices of TV because there's a great deal of pressure on them to conform. When they get to school, what is the first thing that is asked? Did you see that show on TV last night? If a child from a godly home has not seen the show, they're left out of conversation and they're lonely. It's hard. So they're going to come home and they're going to be asking and asking to watch that show so that they can be part of what's going on at school. But if it's not godly, don't let them. Why should we destroy their souls? A Christian child from a godly home who is being left out is going to need help to stand strong. Going to need to pray with them and show them the Word of God and how they can trust Christ. And it can be a real growth point in their lives. But if they're crumbling under the pressure, it's better to pull them out and teach them at home till they have developed that inner strength to be able to stand for the Lord no matter what's being said at school. It's hard to find Christian families today whose children are going on for Christ. Seek such families, learn from them, and see the truth of what I'm saying. You test it out. You make the observations. You come to your own conclusions. See if this not be so. But don't become monastic either. There are two possible wrong reactions to the pressure of the world. Firstly, we can allow the world to push us into its mold. That's a wrong reaction to the world. Secondly, we can withdraw totally from the world. Jesus corrected both these wrong reactions when he prayed in John 17 and verse 14. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Christ prayed for his disciples and all Christians, knowing that they are no longer of the world. Verse 15 again, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world. That is, we are to be in the world, but we are not to be of the world. Not of the world means that we are not going to go the way of the world. In the world means that we do not withdraw totally from the world. We are not monastic, we are not withdrawn, but we are to be outward in attitude, seeking the lost for Christ. Therefore, we are to teach our children to serve, to witness, to be in the world, but not of the world. Now, what I teach you today, let me say, I've got a lot wrong on the way. But what I teach you today is what I would do if I had my time over again. And I know that's not possible. We're not reincarnated as Christians. But I actually would like the opportunity to have my time again. I would be even more careful about media choices than what I was. And we were pretty conservative. I would homeschool for longer, and making sure that children were really established in the faith and they had that strong fiber to stand for Christ in a godless world. It's the same time encouraging them to reach out to unsaved friends, getting them involved in ministry, modelling witnessing and service to them. I do it myself, and I encourage them to get involved more. That's what the Lord wants of us. So then, the context for witness, and we haven't talked to how to share the gospel with kids yet, that's next time. But the context for witness is a godly home, where you are living a holy life, including godly entertainment choices and music choices, praying for the salvation of your children, and excited about belonging to the Saviour. Why should he save me? But he did. Praise God. God wants you to love him with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, and with all of your strength. God wants you to teach the kids in formal times and right through the day, where every incident becomes an opportunity to learn of our great God. God wants you to be full of grace and truth as we point our children to the Saviour. Next time we're going to look at how to explain the gospel and a framework of discipleship for discipling our children in the home. Let's arrest the attrition of our young people together as a church and as families. Let's pray. Dear Father, we would come before you and we would say, Lord, there's always something more for me to learn in this area. I pray for those with older children that we would give good input into their lives today. I pray for those with younger children. Help them in the context of life, Lord, to be able to work these things out together. And Lord, I would pray for us now. Would you, where you're seated, eyes closed, heads bound, would you just talk to the Lord? I think he would have spoken to us all in a different way today. Would you just talk to the Lord in regard to the way the Holy Spirit has spoken to you? Father, we commit these things to you in Jesus' name.